showed you some different examples of how I would have done things differently if I had been God, and I know you're thankful that I'm not God. But that was the miracle of the moment. The miracle of the message, the miracle of the message is what we talked about, that God communicates through his Son, the living and the written word, and that he asks us and commissions us to communicate it as well. Last week, we looked at the miracle of the method, and we used three words, and I said I made up one. The method sometimes eludes us. We just don't see what God's trying to do. It includes us, that he wants us to be partners with him in message, taking that message out. And we also said it secludes us, and I can only find the word secluded. It said seclude is not a word. So whether I made it up or not, but what I said is it's not that he sets us apart by ourselves, but he sets us apart to serve him. So that was what we've been talking about in this series. And as we said today is the miracle in the manger. And we're going to be talking about who was this one in the manger. So let's ask God to bless our time. Lord, we're so grateful again for your Son. We're so grateful, Lord, for your blessings to us. We're thankful for what he did on the cross for us. But first, he came to be born in the manger. And we're grateful for Mary and Joseph being willing to listen and obey when that would have been so easy not to have listened. So, Lord, we just pray that you would bless our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be reading scripture. So since he brought this video up, that was going to be a little bit later. But let's start with this this little clip from, we've been watching little clips either from It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street. Tonight we're going to watch one from Charlie Brown, Linus's great speech. So let's follow this for a moment.
What I'm trying to explain to you is, come in.
You said you wanted to see me, Mrs. Walker.
Come right in.
Hello there. Good to see you again.
It's nice to see you.
You're awfully lucky, Mrs. Walker. Lovely little girl you have here.
Thank you. And Susan's the reason I asked you to drop down. She's a little confused, and I thought maybe you could help to straighten her out.
I'd be glad to.
Would you please tell her that you're not really Santa Claus? That there actually is no such person?
Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, Mrs. Walker, but not only is there such a person, but here I am to prove it.
No. You misunderstand. I want you to tell her the truth. What's your name?
Kris Kringle.
I'll bet you're in the first grade.
Second.
I mean your real name.
That is my real name.
Second grade?
It's a progressive school.
Oh, it's a progressive school.
May I have this gentleman's employment card, please?
Yes, Mrs. Walker.
This dress is very cute. Where did you get such a lovely outfit?
Here at Macy's. We get 10% off.
Please don't feel that you have to keep pretending for Susan's benefit. She's a very intelligent child and always wants to know the absolute truth.
Good, because I always tell the absolute truth. Now, about your school, what's the name of your teacher?
Mrs. Haney.
Mrs. Haney.
Here it is, Mrs. Walker.
Thank you.
What else do you do besides read and play games?
We have rest periods. 1/2 hour.
Oh, I don't suppose you care for that, eh?
No. We're not allowed to talk or anything. Tuesday, Chester Richards, he kept talking all the time.
My, that was bad, eh?
Yes. Mrs. Haney made him stay resting all alone for nearly an hour.
Susan, dear, would you go out and talk to Miss Adams for a minute, and I'll be right with you?
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, young lady. Hope to see you again.
Thank you. I hope so, too. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Kringle.
I'm sorry, but we're going to have to make a change.
Change?
The Santa Claus that we had 2 years ago is back in town, and I feel that we owe it to
have
him.
Have I done something wrong?
Oh, no. No.
I know everyone's always disappointed when I cut off the video, but that was just a small clip of Miracle on 34th Street, and it's, again, one of my favorite ones. So, Aaron, if you could bring up the PowerPoint, we have the scripture. If you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, you can do that, but we do have the script. Well, I don't have it up here. I'm sorry. I don't have it up here, but we're going to be reading John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and these are John's words about Christ, okay? So listen to what he has to say, and then we'll listen to what Jesus has to say about himself. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Christ created it all. There's nothing around that we see that he didn't create. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Then down to verse 9, we're skipping verses 6 to 8. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14 takes verse 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 personalizes it, and it says, and the Word became flesh. We know who that is. The Word became flesh, we can say, was born in a manger. And he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. These verses are telling us about Jesus from John's perspective. John is the writer, and he says, this is the one I'm talking about. He's the Son of God. He's equal with God. He is God. He is equal with his Father. He was the Creator. Light that we see around us came from him. He was going to live this life, and he was going to die as the Savior. And as I said, these words were spoken about Jesus, and we don't have our banners up that we normally keep up through the year, but on this side it says, I am the way. This is what Jesus said. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That's what our banners say. No one comes to the Father except through me. What boldness. Some people would say arrogance to say something like that. Certainly great conviction, but also we know what truth are spoken in those words. And that's what that video clip about Kris Kringle claiming to be not only Santa, but the Santa. There's all kinds of Santas all over the place, right? They're in the mall, they're in parades, they're all over the place. But he wasn't just saying, I am Santa, I am the Santa, I am the one. And our society is very skeptical about many things, aren't they? They don't like to have someone say they are something, especially when the Bible talks about Christ. The world is rejecting Christ. Our nation is rejecting Christ. Our nation doesn't want to hear someone say, Jesus is the only way. So they'll reject truth, but you know, I find it odd and funny in some ways, and kind of sad, that they'll reject claims that Jesus made about himself, but a white woman can claim to be an Indian and we're fine. A man can claim to be a woman and we're fine. But when we talk about the truth from God's word, people turn a deaf ear. They don't want to hear that. It's sad to say, in our world, in our society, and in our nation, people who have been caught in flat-out blatant lies are still in roles of leadership. We have people who have lied to Senate hearings, and they're still in office. We have pastors who've lied and are still serving in churches. We have CEOs who have lied and they're still in business. It's sad, but when someone who speaks about Jesus Christ, they're rejected, they're fired. They don't want to hear about them. They're blackballed, if you will. But we're going to talk about who is this one who claims to be God? Who is this one who was born in a manger? Who is this baby of Christmas, the one that all prophecy points to? So in your notes, you can write these down. The first one is amazing claims. Amazing claims. See, Chris in that movie, again, did not just claim to be Santa Claus. He claimed to be, I am the Santa Claus. And he said, I don't lie. Tell Susan the truth. I am telling the truth. I don't lie. I am the Santa. But when Jesus makes claims, they don't like to hear that. We understand that Miracle on 34th Street is just a movie, but the miracle of the manger, which we're talking about this morning, made amazing claims as well about this child. I want you to think just for a few moments here about some of the things he claimed, or that were actually said about him, but he also claimed. First is he was going to be born of a virgin. How does that happen? How can that happen? If you were alive at that time and Mary came along and said, I'm pregnant, but it's not from a man, it's from the Holy Spirit, we would roll our eyes, and certainly she'd be an outcast in our society. He was going to be born in Bethlehem, or he was born in Bethlehem, the smallest little village, an insignificant town. His parents were poor. They weren't anyone famous. They weren't leaders. They weren't kings. They weren't religious leaders even. They were poor people. And then after that, he claimed to be the Son of God. We know when he walked the earth, he said he was going to die and he was going to raise again. That, we would have rolled our eyes at that as well. And it was fantasy or crazy until it occurred. And then we think, he also says that one day he's going to return and rule and judge the world in righteousness. And people think that's crazy until it will happen. When it happens, people will no longer be rolling their eyes. They're going to say, hey, I guess God is who he said he is. You see, there are claims by Christ that his followers make today. When you talk to people and you say, I believe the Bible is true, that's enough to, you know, put people on standoffship with you. They're not going to want to talk to you. They're not going to want to believe you. If you believe these, that this Bible can actually be God's word to us 2,000 years later, they're trying to throw it out. When it makes claims against homosexuality, when it makes claims against gossip, when it makes claims against sin, people roll their eyes and say, well, that's not reality today. You know, our world, our religions in the world certainly make some different opinions about Jesus. Islamic people, Muslims, claim that Jesus was a good prophet and a good teacher. That was it. Hindus believe that Jesus is one of many ways to find the path to God. There are people, Buddhists who believe that Jesus lived a lot of previous lives, and in one of them he eventually attained enlightenment, but he's certainly not God. See, that's the opinions of the world. The New Age movement looks at God as a good man, but they don't look at his claims of being the Messiah, the claims of being God. They don't agree with that. So what do Christians really believe? What is it that Christians need to say? Listen to this. This is a book, and I have it upstairs. I couldn't find it the other day. I looked real quickly on my shelves, but it's a C.S. Lewis book called Mere Christianity. And I want you to hear what he writes in this. He says, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. They'll say, I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. He said, that is one thing we cannot say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. If Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, he was going to raise again, he was going to judge, people would not say that that's a good man. He didn't tell the truth. He would either be a lunatic, listen to this, a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man, Jesus, was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, and you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. It's not possible to say that Jesus was just a good man. And as he goes on in this book, he says he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. You probably heard that quote before. That's where it came from. Jesus is either a liar by the claims he made, he's crazy, or he is who he says he is. He is the Lord. And obviously we know where we fall on that side. We believe he is Lord. The things he said about himself we believe are true. And because of if he is who he says he is, there are eternal implications. So what is Jesus, if he really is telling the truth, if he is who he claimed to be, what effects does that have on the world? See, in the movie Kris Kringle, or in the movie Miracle on 34th Street, some people wanted Chris put away as insane. He was, if you saw the address on there, it was some kind of a nursing home or home for the aged or something, I don't remember. But they wanted him to be declared insane, if you've ever watched that movie. There's others, especially the children, believed he was Santa Claus, believed he was who he said he is. I don't care whether you like the movie. I don't care whether you promote Santa Claus in your home. That's fine if you do. It's fine if you don't. But that's not the point of what we're talking about. What does matter this morning is who you believe Jesus is. Is he really who he says he is? Do you believe we desire to be loved, we have an eternal hope and a secure future? And if Jesus is who and what he said he is, all of that's guaranteed. We want to have this relationship with God. It says he is the way, no other way. There was an old TV show, and I watched it a few times. It was called Cheers. Some of you might have watched that. It was about a bar in Boston. But even whether you liked the show or not, the song was good. The song, I think, was like in the top five for a year or so when it came out. But let me read the words to you. It says, making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. We could say that today, right? Just making your way around today in our world takes everything. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. I want to tell you, the eternal implications of that is that God knows your name. God knows all about you. And we could even make this to like a more of a Christmas song and say, there is one who knows when you're awake and when you're sleeping. He knows when you're naughty or nice. There is one who loves you always. And you know what? The church, this building should be a place where people are glad you came. I hope that you feel like you're welcome here this morning. I hope that anybody who walks in the doors believes that we're glad that you came. But that's what the eternal implications are. There is a relationship that God offers us through his son that is all love. What we believe about Christ, what we believe about his claims, not only are going to impact eternity, that's where we're going to spend eternity. If we trust that Jesus is who he claims he is, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he is the sacrifice, that he is the living God, it will give us hope in eternity. It will give us an eternal home. If we reject it, it's going to affect our eternity as well. But you know what? It also affects your life here. It makes you more joyful. It makes you, whether you dread Christmas, and I just saw someone on Facebook this morning said, for all of you Christmas disdainers, we're almost through it. And I thought, you know, how sad is that? And I know this girl. I had her in a youth group years ago. She didn't come to this church, but I know she's gone through a lot of different things in her life and some sad things. But to hate Christmas because of some painful memories are difficult, but there is a child that was born for us for the sole purpose of dying for us. And that's what Christmas is all about. If he is who he claimed he is, all his promises are true. He is with you right now. He's going to be with you. He's been with Seneca this whole year. There's times when I'm sure she felt alone and sad, but God was with her. He was with Sue in the middle of the surgery. Larry faced a lot. We've had people in this congregation who faced a lot. Carlene will stand up and give testimony right now. We don't have time to hear it all. I'm kidding, Carlene. But Carlene, what a testimony she had a few years ago with what she went through with all this stem cell and all that she went through and having a Christian doctor and all the way through all those things, looking back at it, how God was with her and all those things. God was with us through this past year. Next week, we're going to be looking at the year in review and kind of remembering some of those things. But God promises to return and to rule. We know that that's true. Eternal implications. You are his child right now. He is with you right now. And all of his word and all of his promises are true because we believe he is who he claimed to be. And then finally, we're going to be through this a little bit early this morning so we can get over for our cookie fellowship. But because of his claims, because of the eternal implications, there is a personal choice. We need to decide, is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he the Lord? No one else can decide for us. No one else can make that decision for us about that baby in the manger. And when Jesus was around, I put this up here, Jesus asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? Do you remember that conversation? And some of them said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Other people said you're Elijah or Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets came back to life. And Jesus heard all that. And then Jesus turned to them and said, who do you say that I am? Forget what the other people are saying for a moment. Who do you say that I am? And I ask that up there, how would you answer that question right now? Would you say he's a good man? He's a teacher. He was a good prophet, but I'm not too sure about the stuff about being the Savior. I'm not sure about this relationship that he offers us. Is Christ who he claimed to be? If so, you need to personally trust him as your personal Lord and Savior. He'll never leave you. He will always provide for you. He will all be eternally present. And that's one of the things I have on my prayer list is the word acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But adoration is what I start off with first every morning. I just try to pray through some of his characteristics and his presence, his power, his goodness, his faithfulness, his love, his grace, his mercy. All those things are ours if we trust him. If we put our faith in him, to be eternally present, to be eternally meeting every need that we have, he's going to provide a way of escape for every temptation that we face, and we struggle with that. We don't always believe that. We struggle with believing him in everything that he promises. See, he did not come to the world to condemn the world, but to set it free. And that's what Jesus did at the manger. He could have rejected it right up to the time he was born. He could have said, God, I'm not going. Look at the mess in the world right now. I'm not going. But he didn't. And then he lived this life of perfect sinlessness for 33 years. And then went through all the mockery of the trial and the slapping of the face and being beaten and put on the cross. He could have rejected any of that before the cross happened. But he didn't because of his love. He came to set us free. In the movie, another Christmas movie that my wife cannot stand, but it's Polar Express. And I found this week. Here's the written summary part of the written summary about the theme of Polar Express. This movie is trying to convey to the audience that it's not about what you see and how things work. It's about choosing to believe in the magic of the world. The power that choice to believe has is where the magic of childlike wonder comes from and is something people seem to forget when they grow into adulthood. Now, I know some people don't like that Christmas word, believe, because a lot of it comes from that Polar Express thing. But you know what? That's exactly what Jesus asked us. He said, have childlike faith. Believe in my claims. Believe in my word. Believe in my spirit. Believe in my son. We need to believe. And the question is, do you believe in this child from the manger? Do you believe he grew up to be your Savior? Do you believe he died personally for your sin? That's where childlike wonder of salvation comes from. It's childlike faith. And this morning, I want to offer you this, to pray this prayer. I want to offer you this gift, the greatest gift in the world. And I just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes right where you are. And again, I said we're going to be done a little bit early this morning, and that's okay. I know you're not going to complain. But right where you're seated right now, just say, God, I've heard quietly to the Lord. God, I've heard your claims. I've heard what Jesus claimed, that he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I've heard what men wrote about him, that he is and he was and he always will be the Word. And Lord, I don't understand it all. I'm not exactly sure about all this salvation thing. I'm not sure, all completely sure about what Jesus did for me. I'm not sure I understand about how he loves me, but Lord, I believe it. And Lord, I want to believe your claims. I want to believe not only what was said about Jesus, but what Jesus said about himself and what Jesus has proven already. And Lord, I love gifts at Christmas, and Lord, I want to receive the greatest gift that was ever offered to man. Thank you for Jesus being born to die for me. Even though I don't understand it all, right now I want to receive it in faith. I want to have this childlike faith to receive this gift. of salvation. And Jesus, right now, I invite you to come into my heart. I invite you to be my Savior. I invite you to be my Lord. And Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, and make me your child. If you prayed that, no one's looking around. If you prayed that today, would you just put your hand right up and write down, just let me see it, that you prayed that prayer and you trusted Jesus for the first time today. I believe the Lord's speaking to some. We'll just wait a moment. But you're believing the claims that Jesus made about himself. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for dying in our place. I thank you for coming to live for us. And Lord, I thank you for this Christmas season. Lord, we're so blessed to have the opportunity to celebrate. I pray, Lord, for churches around the world that are already getting ready to meet. I saw the Crew's Christmas service with their kids singing this morning, and that was for their Sunday service. It's not Christmas Day, but we just pray, Lord, that you would bless those ministries. We pray, Lord, your hand be upon these folks and direct in their ministry. And I pray, Lord, for someone here, Lord, who's putting off that decision to trust you, that you would work in their hearts. And Lord, we give you the praise for your grace and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.